We rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hear our text beginning with our first section from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is God's word. You may be seated. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow citizens and members of the household of God. In this age of text messaging and GPS, there's hardly a need to ever plan ahead. You can simply punch in the address in your GPS, text or call whoever you're going to visit, and off you go. Or perhaps you're on the way and you say, I'll just call you when I get close. Add to this our busy lives. After school activities, sports, ever-changing work schedules, mom and dad that work, kids that work. We find our lives are hardly even planned beyond tomorrow many times. However, God, on the other hand, who dwells in eternity, who views all things with a blink of his almighty eye, doesn't plan with such uncertainty. He doesn't make last-minute changes, and he doesn't wonder if he'll really get to his destination, because God plans with certainty. As of September 30th, 2010, it's reported that there were over 100,000 children in the foster care system waiting for someone to adopt them. As parents around the world consider whether or not to adopt, there's many factors that go into that decision. The wait time for an adoption averages around a whole year. After a couple has been on that waiting list, preparing, setting up the crib, painting the room, getting everything ready, waiting some 12 or even 24 months, there's still always that possibility that the adoption will fall through. It's reported then that there's some 20% of adoptions that end in what's called disruption, where the adoption falls through before it's finalized. God, on the other hand, plans an adoption that doesn't have those kind of statistics. God's plans don't hinge on uncertainty of mankind or this world. Rather, God plans in Christ. We read in verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That word adoption in our text is actually what Paul is using, the legal word for adoption in his day. We were chosen, that is, elected, as it says also in Paul's epistle to the Galatians. He redeemed those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. We have gone from possessing the rights of a slave to being members of the household of God. Before you were born, yet, in fact, we read, before the foundation of the world, God had chosen us for this destiny, hence the word predestined. It's what we call the teaching of election, God planning your salvation in Christ. But this calls to mind a question. How is it that God chose us? What were his requirements? God might have certainty, but can we? Verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think of what this meant for God, who knows all things, who sees all things at one time. He foresaw not just your election, but also your sins. He foresaw how we would often run away, even after being called to faith, even after we have trusted and learned of Jesus Christ, we would still run away from home, and we would seek our biological parents. For we were originally born of sin. And sin is that parent that's seeking to disrupt the adoption, to lure you by supposed satisfaction he can provide. God saw all this. He saw the big sins and he saw the small sins. One contributing factor to disrupted adoptions is that of children with special needs. And so children with special needs in that pool, it's said that there is about 14% who won't get adopted. God chose not just the special needs children, he chose the totally helpless. He chose those who weren't just deprived, but who were resisting the adoption. He chose those who wanted to do nothing with him. As it says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, we were by nature children of wrath. Having foreseen all this, he still planned your redemption. He still sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross for those sins. He saw even those who would reject this free gift and paid for their sins. What love. We read in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That word redemption means to buy back, and it emphasizes a ransom payment that needs to be made to set a slave free. The payment, the riches, was all a gift in Christ. That's why Martin Luther wrote in his hymn, a father's heart he turned to me, sought my redemption fervently. He gave his dearest treasure. This section of God's word completely debunks the idea that there's anything in you that made this election happen. Chapter 2 says, even when we were dead in sin, God made us alive together with Christ. God's plan was in Christ. Over 13 times in this chapter, you find that mentioned to in Christ, or according to his grace, according to his will, agreeing with John, who wrote, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As I was out distributing flyers this week, being kind of a semi-perfectionist, I was picturing having to hit every house so that you start at one side of the neighborhood and you don't miss a single door to increase your probability of reaching just one soul. But this reminds us that it is not according to the will of man that more souls are brought to faith. It's not according to our plan of action, our outreach plan, the effectiveness of our efforts and advertising that is going to bring a soul to VBS or into our congregation. Rather, it's according to the will of God. And that brings you certainty too. For you know that your salvation is not going to rest with you. It's not going to rest with the magnitude of your good works, and it's not going to rest with the multitude of your sins. Rather, all glory goes to Him, for He has planned a certain salvation in Christ. So in your hurried life, you head out the door, things not going according to plan. You go to the store, you leave the store, and in a hurry, you smash into somebody else's car. You take your car to the body shop, and you know a really good body man who can work on your car, and he promises to buff and refinish until you won't even notice the damage was ever there. Yet, no matter what he does, you'll always know where that blemish was. You'll always know where that mark was and that damage was. To be without blame means to be without defect or blemish. As we read in verse 4, He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So often we try to buff and refinish our dents in our lives. We try to cover up or hammer out so that no one will notice what has happened. Whether it's a child climbing on the dresser and breaking some valuable item and trying to cover up, or it's parents not wanting their kids to know that they're speeding and breaking the speed limit because they haven't planned ahead for what they're going to do today. How much more don't we often want God to see what we've done or what we've thought? We try to cover up, and yet no matter how hard we try, God always knows where that mark is. He knows what's there. Have you ever seen any of Mr. Bean's movie? One of his movies, he grabs the Mona Lisa painting and he has it in a closet with him where he sneezes on it. And then he takes a rag and tries to cover up what's happened. Not knowing then, but soon discovering that he had dipped the rag in paint thinner. And as much as he tries to cover it up, it only gets worse and worse and more of a mess. That's what happens when we're busy trying to cover up sin. Things just get more messy. So how is it that God can expect us or choose us to be blameless? Well, the answer is twofold. Firstly, our blemishes are only taken away in Christ. We read in verse 7, through Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul uses a present tense here, which pictures it as an ongoing forgiveness. He keeps on forgiving us in Christ throughout our life, again and again, not just covering up our blemishes, but taking them away and giving them to Jesus. All this in eternity, He was planning and executing, substituting a spotless lamb for you, Jesus Christ. So that He writes in verse 3, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. With this forgiveness and redemption, what was once in the heavenly places now becomes visible on earth as we reflect the love that Christ has shown toward us in our love for each other and our blameless Christian walk. In love, we read in verse 4. Love in Christ is truly holy living, where we plan not according to our sinful flesh, but how we can serve others, how we can serve our spouse, how we can resist temptation and we can see the needs of those around us. God planned in Christ for blamelessness. As we said before, planned adoptions can often fall through, but more times than not, they don't. The adoption comes through as planned. And what a joy is it when one more child is brought into the care, not of an orphanage with a whole bunch of kids, but of one loving mother and one loving father. What even greater joy it is when these parents then teach that child about Jesus. God has planned for your full redemption. He has made the down payment, so to speak, because we read in verse 13, "You were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." That word guarantee pictures a first installment on a bigger purchase, a down payment that God has made to keep you as his own. In our pre-service devotion, you have it in your bulletins there on the first page, we have from Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So coming into this service, that was meant to be our thoughts. We are kept by the power of God. God who has given us a certain hope through the resurrection of the dead. And where do we hear of that? Verse 13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." The word of truth is more than just words. It is a powerful message that Jesus has risen from the dead and that you too will rise. The full redemption here. The Bible sometimes talks in both ways, both our redemption from sin in this world and our full redemption of body and soul to be with God in heaven. The word of truth, which promises he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So in your baptism, you are sealed with that election, the revelation of God's purchased possession. Should we doubt the power of Almighty God to see through the purchase he has begun to make, the adoption that he has planned? With the frequent changing of jobs nowadays and the difficulty getting time off, you can hardly plan much beyond this month. You can hardly plan for a summer vacation. More often your plans are controlled by other factors: work, appointments, children. However, God is not bound by anyone or anything. He's perfectly free, absolutely free, to plan and carry out his will. And in his will, he chose you. He planned in Christ. He planned for blamelessness. He planned for your full redemption. And he planned with certainty so that all praise and glory belongs not to us, but to him. We normally end our sermons and some hymns and prayers with the word Amen. How fitting it is to use a word that means it is certain. For nothing in Christ could be more certain. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.